Sanitize the doors. Also, when you come in, let's try to come in and out the same door, okay, so we know that you haven't touched anything. And again, I know this might sound crazy, but we're trying to, you know what, it's going to be bad if somebody gets there and gets sick, okay? And I don't want to feel like I've got had anything to do with somebody getting sick, okay? It's better to be on the safe side and be a little bit extra than to be on the unsafe side and somebody gets sick, okay? I actually heard a preacher one day when we first started social distancing. He said he was not going to do it in his church. He was going to keep church up. And they said, why does somebody get sick? He said, well, they'll just have to get sick. And one of his people got sick and died. And he said they were a martyr for the cause. Really? Wow. So we don't want any martyrs for the cause. We want to do what's right. Okay, but we are together here today. Isn't that cool? I do want us to stand up and say this, although your offering's going to be back in the back. I want you to say this with me. Stand up, put your offering in your hand, and just hold it up. If you don't have an offering, put your hand up, because you are an offering too. You're a living offering. Say this with me. I lift my offering to you. Say it again. I lift my offering to you. Let it please you, O Lord. This is my seed. Although it leaves my hand, it will never leave my life. You will multiply it. Accept my seed, O Lord. Give Lord a hand clap of praise. All right, let's go ahead and go back into. Remember, the plates are in the back, and you can just drop it off on the way out, and that way nobody's going to be touching anybody. Amen. Isn't that cool? Y'all got? Oh yeah, y'all stand up. Thank you.
nothing compared. You're my living.
Y'all knew it was coming. Let's sing that again. Come on, let's sing that in and again. It's such the chorus. Ready? How many is glad to be in the house of God? Go ahead and get Lord. Go ahead. Isn't it awesome?
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what I long for. To be overcome by your presence.
I don't know if y'all been paying much attention to the news lately. It's gotten crazy out there. I talked to my dad who lives in Greensboro, and he said last night Greensboro was another one of those cities that were hit. This is not protest. This is not peaceful protesting. This is violence, rioting, and you know what? I was just sitting there thinking, if we could let everybody feel His Holy Spirit right now, it would stop. I'm not talking about calm down. It would stop. I mean, right then, it would just stop. Okay? You can't return evil for evil. That doesn't work. You give glory to God. And of course, right now things got so far out of hand, it's going to take a strong hand to take care of this. But that's the strongest hand we got, is God. Amen? Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. You're welcome in Greensboro. You're welcome in Minnesota. You're welcome in Los Angeles. You're welcome in New York. You're welcome in Brooklyn. Wherever. God, we need your Holy Spirit more than ever before. Amen? And so I know everybody's got an opinion, but let me tell you something. This is a fact. If the Holy Spirit gets involved, it will stop immediately. Amen? Amen. Let's sing that again. Go first, get Lord a hand clap of praise. All right. Go ahead and sing it again, son.
Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. To be overcome by your presence, Lord. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are.
Come on, church, yes! Check, 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 check. Check, check. There we go. Yeah, it's been kind of weird. It's been kind of weird getting used to everything. And my wife even says that the virus probably won't get me. It's the social distancing that's going to get me. Yeah, I can think of things I'd rather do than social distance. Amen. Yeah, I'm not a social butterfly. I'm a social, think of the fastest bird there is, the roadrunner. I'm a social roadrunner. Amen. Amen. let's pray for our nation. I'm all for, again, and the Constitution is all for peaceful demonstration, and what happened to George Floyd is unexcusable. There's nowhere in a police manner to tell you to put your, hold your knee on a man's neck. And what made it even worse was he was holding his hand in his pocket, and other guys were standing around. That's unacceptable, but what's going on now is even more unacceptable. Okay? And so peaceful protest is in the Constitution, but we've got to protect our homes and our families. And if you don't take care of the city, it's going to go into the homes, and they're going to start ramaging homes and hurting people in their home. And so we need God to take care of this. We need the Holy Spirit to take a hold of this. Before I get into this sermon, and I talked about it a little bit on Tuesday night, and I even talked about it on Building Lives for the Kingdom on Wednesday night. How many know now that, and DC gave me a wake-up call one day. Good God, he gave me a wake-up call. He said, Daddy, you need to go to Walmart at 7 o'clock on Tuesday. And I said, why do you go to Walmart on 7 o'clock on Tuesday? He said, that's senior time. And I said, but I'm not a senior. It says 60 years and up. He said, aren't you 60? What now? Was it even younger? Yeah, at least 60. 55, 60, up. He said, Daddy, you're in there. I said, wow. Yeah, so I want to tell you a little funny story. I was in that line one day at 7:45 at the grocery store that opened at 8 o'clock for seniors only. This is a different one. It opened for 8 o'clock for seniors only. A young man came into the parking lot and tried to cut right in front of the line, but an old lady beat him back into the parking lot with her cane. He returned and tried to cut in again, but the old man punched him in the gut and then kicked him to the ground and rolled him away. Finally, he approached the line the third time and said, if you people don't let me unlock the door, you'll never get in the shop. Ah! Yeah, isn't God good? All the time, God is good. Don't forget now, Tuesday nights, We're back doing our Tuesday night Bible studies, but we're going to do our snacks different. Now snacks are going to be handled individual packs, and we're not going to be sharing. And also for the popcorn eaters, everybody's got their own bag. Please put your name on it, and it's up to you to keep it fresh until the next week. If you want to take it and put a clothespin on it or something, if it's stale the next week, then you got a bag with your name on it full of stale popcorn. So everybody's got their own bag. That way it won't, you won't be spreading germs. I hate to have germs popping up everywhere from popcorn. Okay. yeah. Okay. This is crazy. This whole thing is crazy. Never seen anything like it. And some of y'all are a lot older than I am, and I hear from everybody we've never seen anything quite like this. But I want to. It's easy at this time to hold judgment on, I look around you, the people that would normally be here are not, some of them are not here. Some of them, they will be, but you got to give them a chance. And so that's what I want to address right now. And it's not just, this is not just for church. Let me just say this. This is for relationships. Okay? This can apply to relationships. Anybody ever had a breach in relationships? You've had a break in relationships, or you've had some hard feelings, or maybe at work you're having a hard time with some of the other co-workers. This works with them too, but I'm getting my message is geared toward the church, but it can go for all of those, okay? How to assist the three different groups back to every church. Did you know there's three different groups coming? Did you know that? Some of y'all here Tuesday night, y'all know that. You already know it in your heart, but I'm putting it out there. You know, let's go ahead and talk about the pink elephant, the white elephant, the gray elephant, whatever kind of elephant you want to call him. Let's talk about him. He's in the room right now. Who's coming back to church and when? I'm glad you asked that question. Matter of fact, my question is, where is everybody? Here we go. Three groups. This is really, really wild. I want you to know something about the three groups is everybody's still here. Believe it or not, we still have everybody. You say, well, where are they at? Well, that's why we're going to talk about this. I want to clear the air a little bit, and I want you to think about this. This is a coronavirus thinking session, okay? Everybody's still here, but you can't see them. And here's why. Watch this. Know this. Then most of the congregation never left. There's still some that's online. There's going to be some that's going to be online for quite some time. We've even got new people that go online. Y'all remember Art Bailey? Hey, Art Bailey, how you doing, buddy? I know y'all looking around for him. He's not in here. He's in, I even forget now. He was in Texas. I'm not sure where he's at now. He'll tell me. He'll write it down where he's at. But he hadn't been here about 10 years. He looked in here. He just looked on Facebook and walked back there, and he wrote a thing and said, somebody already took my pew. Most of the congregation never left. They're online. Of course, we got some other people, too. We got the Derniers. Emmaus brothers and sisters to the bone. Amen. Y'all want to just say something for the Lord while we're doing this? Did you just say, hey, whatever, just do something? That's it. Yes. No. God is good. It's really fun to tell a little story. In Emmaus, you have to play a song before you speak. And my song, the very first time I got D.C. to do some kind of wonderful, the place went crazy. There was guys standing up in their chairs. They were screaming. They were clapping. He said, can I get a witness? They were screaming. All 70 guys screaming, Jesus! They were having a ball. So the next year, I tried to get him to do it again. But Connie, the guy that came here at Easter and did Joseph, he'd already gone to D.C. before I got to him and said, I need you to do some kind of wonderful for me. And so I go to D.C. I said, D.C., I need you to do some kind of wonderful again. He said, I can't. I said, why? He said, Connie caught it. I said, Connie got it. He said, yeah, he was a little faster than you were, Dad. I said, okay. So in the third year, I come up to him. I said, DC, I need you to do some kind of wonderful for me. He says, I can't. I said, again, did Connie get it? He said, no, Connie weren't fast enough this time. I said, Paul got him. And so I walked, and Connie walked up to me mad. Connie said, I can't believe this. I can't believe this. I said, what? He said, somebody stole my song. I said, you mean one thief stole another thief's song? He said, it's all right, man. And so we got played a lot more. It was really cool. It was just really, really cool. We have a good time in a mess, and nobody was mad. It was fine. So that song got recycled from me to Connie to Paul. And I saw Paul shake a leg. Amen. Isn't God good? All the time. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. So how many know the church is not a building? The church is about Jesus. It's about the impact of the gospel. Matter of fact, I wish right now there was some way that we could find a way to get people to sit down and listen long enough to the gospel. And I believe with all my heart there would be a lot of changing going on in all these major cities. But the return of church to physical buildings post-COVID, it's going to be in uncharted waters, very much uncharted waters. We don't know when people will come back. We don't know who is actually going to be sitting in the pews. We don't know how many are going to be sitting in the pews. We don't even know when they're going to be sitting in the pews. And there's more I have discovered in COVID because they're finding more things out about COVID. Here's what I've discovered is we know as the days go by, we know less and less and less about this COVID. They say now it's morphing and some other things that it's doing, and the kids are getting a branch of this and it's killing the kids, and all this stuff's going on. And so as it's going through, it's doing so much. So think about 8 weeks ago, maybe 10 weeks ago. So much has changed. The world has changed. Think about it. Social norms have changed. If I could, I'd have hugged every last one of y'all with a great big hug today, because I ain't seen some of y'all in so long. But I couldn't. Okay? You know, there's so many things I would love to do, but you can't. Social norms have changed. The economy has changed. The way we do business has changed. When I went up to Arby's and I said, and I ordered an Arby's sandwich, and I looked at it on the sign and said, please do not use cash. I said, so are you giving them away? I said, I'll take two then. And she said, no, sir, read the sign a little further. I said, well, let me look. It said, do not use money. She said, yeah, use your card. I said, it just says use a card, so I'd rather use your card. She said, sir, please give me your card. Okay, so people disagree with what's happening. People disagree on why it's happening. People disagree that what is safe and what is not safe. You want to get a good discussion, you want to get three people, get two people in a room, and then start discussing the virus. You're going to see all kinds of things. You're going to see me. I'm going to show you me in just a minute, okay? And I'm pretty sure there's several of y'all in here that's going to hit this category. But there's different groups. There's actually, there's just three groups. There's only three. Just three. Somebody say three. And what's the number of God? The other three, Father, Son, the Holy Ghost. Okay, so here we go. Three is God's number. Well, there's also three people, three different groups. So we're going to talk about it. Here's what I want you to remember now. Listen carefully. None of these three groups indicate a different level of spiritual maturity. Don't think that one group is more mature than the other, because it's not. Don't think that one group is better than the other, because they're not. There's just three groups. Okay? And so with the three groups, here's what I want you to see. The first group, the ones running back, that's me. I'm running back. I want to get in there. I can't wait. Let me run. Let me get in here. We're going to talk about those. First, we're going to talk about those running backs, okay? Look. I'm looking at big biblical examples. David is such a great example, because David come up after Israel been shut down for 40 days. And Goliath had been going out every day, twice a day, telling Israel, said, instead of all of us fighting, army on this side and army on this side, they're in the valley. And he says, instead of us fighting, all of us fighting and losing, take a chance of major loss, I just want one person, your champion, because Goliath was their champion. Give me one man and winner take all. The only problem is this man was, Goliath was anywhere from 9 to 11 foot tall. Saul was the tallest man around and Saul didn't even stand close. And so they've been shut down. Goliath itself means beheader. So because of this, I want you to think about something. This is one of the original terrorist schemes. Get in your head. Okay? This is some of the original psychological warfare. That's why this coronavirus, there is the epidemic, okay, or the pandemic. We can't change the pandemic. What we can change is the pandemonium. The pandemic is here, but the warfare in our brain is causing pandemonium. And part of what's going on now in these cities, it's not just from George Floyd, but also these people have been pinned up for 8 weeks, been pinned up for 11 weeks, 12 weeks. They've been pinned up, and so now they're out. And so there's a lot more insight. There's a lot deeper to the deeper explanation of this than just George Floyd. And so all this stuff going on, again, it all started with look, the pandemic, then that psychological warfare that caused the pandemonium. Okay? So here's David. He comes up and says, what's going on? In there, call. What are y'all doing? Why are y'all sitting back? Somebody needs to go take this big man. Is there not a cause? But that psychological warfare, that psychological spiritual terrorist had got the best of them. The biggest man in Israel was afraid, and the whole nation was shut down. Does that sound familiar? Wow. You know, I happened to watch America's Got Talent. Didn't watch it when it came on last week. Started watching it last night. And a man got up to sing. And when the man got up to sing, he said, tell us something about you. That man had been accused of rape and had been in prison for 37 years. And after 37 years, they finally found DNA evidence that it wasn't him, and he was released. The whole place was in tears. And they said, how did you handle it for 37 years knowing that you were innocent? He said, although they locked me in on the outside, I never let them lock me in here. Wow. And then he sang a Elton John song. I'm trying to think of the name of it right now. If y'all can help me remember which one it was. But it was talking actually didn't about his experience. And wow. I thought, man, and it was an old black man. I said, if he could get up and sing through all that's going on right now, good Lord have mercy. I believe the Lord could use that man and that singing and that song to do a lot of changing in this world right now. Okay, so the biggest man was shut down. But David said, let me at him. And so the Bible says when he got to David, he said, who am I, a dog, that you come at me with sticks? A little boy with sticks? He says, I will feed you to the fowls of the air and feed you to the birds of the field. And he said, let me tell you something. You come to me with sword and with spear and with shield. You come to me with your psychological warfare. You come to me with your spiritual terrorism. He said, but I'm coming in the name of the Spirit of the Almighty God, in the name of the Lord. And he said, this day I'm going to take your head off your shoulders. I'm going to stop the spiritual warfare in the mind. I'm going to stop the psychological warfare. I'm going to take your head off today. And you're going down. And sure enough, that's what happened. So look, there's those that are running back. I'm getting all over here. I'm getting happy now. Let me pull back over here to the message. Okay. Faith is the victor. Of course, it said, and David, I love this. The Bible says, and the Philistine moved closer to attack him, but David ran quickly toward the battle line to meet him. They're talking junk to each other. Can you see David's hand? Oops, I messed up and run. No, he ran toward him. He ran quickly. and he took out the stone and he got him right between the eyes. So again, there's those in here right now. Some of y'all, I would like to think most of y'all, are running back. Okay? The running back, here's the characteristics of the running backs. This group cannot wait. They have their running shoes on. They're ready to sprint. Okay? It's going to be like this in relationships too. It's going to be like this on your jobs. Okay? In the church, they would never have left had you not closed the doors. They don't want masks. Some would hug you if you would let them. They're excited that the doors will reopen. They're frustrated that they have not been open already. Why it took so long? I would estimate this group to about 25%. There's all kinds of thoughts, but about 25% of your congregation are going to be the running backs. In just general, everyday getting along with people and trying to with relationships, about 25% of people involved in relationships of any type on any level, there's about 25% of those people that'll be the running back. There'll be those that's ready to get it back in order, get it right, let's have it right now. What's taking so long? Come on. Kind of like Archie Bunker when Edith was going through the change of life. Archie didn't know what the change of life was. She was going through the change of life. She was griping at him and arguing at him. He couldn't believe what he was seeing. And finally, Meathead and his daughter got him to understand that she was going through the change. And so he finally calmed down. And he went over to Edith and said, "Edith, I understand now." He said, "You're going through the change." He said, "Okay, you got 5 minutes, change." Y'all remember that? You got 5 minutes, change! That ain't how it works. Okay, so we would like to see somebody just go ahead and change. That's not how it works. So watch this now. You're going to like this. The key word for us running backs, okay, we all got key words here. The key word for the running back is pace. You got to learn to pace yourself. I understand. Let's get it done. Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go. I've always been a let's go guy. Let's go, let's go. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to pace yourself. I wouldn't even buy Heinz ketchup because I hated waiting for it to come out the bottle. I didn't start using it until you squeeze it out. Amen? Okay, so now, for those that are the running back, we need to learn to pace our zeal. Pace it. Don't quench it. Don't get rid of it. Just learn how to pace your zeal. Okay? You know, it's kind of like if I know I got to go all day long and I got 10 sandwiches in my bag. I got all day long, a 10-hour job, and I got 5 sandwiches in my back. I know every couple hours I'll eat a sandwich. But if I got a 10-hour job and I got 1 sandwich, I may break it up just a little bit and pace myself. Okay? The same way, you got to pace yourself and understand that not everybody thinks like you. Surprise. Surprise. Okay, so now we need to watch this. Listen carefully. I'm David. I'm your friend. We need to embrace it while they may be comfortable to other groups. They still might not be ready to move back into the church. They're still not ready to get there because some of these people have had people in their family that's had coronavirus. I did see the other day where a 101-year-old World War II veteran had just, him and his daughter both, she had to be in her 80s or 90s, 80s, World War II veteran just came through the hospital and he survived coronavirus. I thought that was awesome. Yeah, 101, isn't that cool? Yeah. But then the youngest victim so far, I think, is 6 months old. So you got all, and you say, well, they had underlying health problems. That baby, as far as I know, didn't have underlying health problems. There's other people that may not have had underlying health problems. We don't know enough about this, and so we've got to be smart, okay? And I have people tell me all the time, you're running too fast, Dad. You're running too fast, David. You're running too fast, Pastor. Slow down. Slow down. Slow down. So I'm slowing down. Okay. So now, well, I'm kind of slowing down. How about it's in my mind anyway? All right. So look, we people, we the people, the running people, We must be careful not to unknowingly pressure, listen carefully. The people that are the running backs need to be careful not to unknowingly pressure anyone to come back to physical church before they're ready. Okay? I mean, that's simple. Not everybody thinks like you. And aren't you glad not everybody thinks like you? Because if everybody thought like you, no, get ready. Get ready. If everybody thought like you, it'd be a boring world. Amen? If it was sunshine all the time, you know what you get when you get sunshine all the time? A desert. The same way, when everybody thinks alike, then we don't have the body functioning. We've just got a system that honestly is boring. So there's those that are running back. I'm a running back. You ain't got to raise your hands, but some of y'all in here are going, I'm a running back. And so, somebody went, I saw somebody go yet. Okay. So running back. Number two. Y'all, does this make sense? Number two. Get ready. I'll let him. Come on. Come on. Come on. Come on. There are those who are walking back. Okay, remember, none are better than the other. None outdo the other. None, one's not more spiritual mature than the other. It's just the way they feel about this on their inside. Okay? So I'm walking back. Now watch this now. The walking back, look, here you go. We're going to talk about the biblical example. Well, first, we're going to talk about Thomas. Thomas said, well, I know you say he's back and everything's cool, but I still don't quite believe it. Thomas said, unless I can feel the nail scars in his hands and thrust my hand in his side, things still aren't cool. So I believe you know what you're talking about, the rest of you guys, the other 10 of you. I believe you know what you're talking about. But I'm not sure that I quite believe it yet. And so Thomas was one of those walking back. Watch this. The walking back group wants to carefully process what they see and experience before they return. You think about the armies of Israel. David was coming to a paralyzed army. Paralyzed, they wouldn't move. One army's waiting, the Philistine army's waiting. The Israeli army is paralyzed. And they're waiting for something because they're not going to charge because they don't feel comfortable. All they can see is death. But after seeing that little bitty fellow about 5 foot, he was about 5 foot two. Okay, that somebody they exhumed his body. He was about 5 foot one, 5 foot two. He was a little fella. So David, can you imagine a 17-year-old going up against Goliath, a man twice his size? Once they saw him jump on his body and take off his head, like he said, remember, this is a significance to taking off his head. He's the beheader. He, through psychological warfare, had stifled them and had them scared for 40 days and 40 nights. 40 is the number of trial. But once David beheaded the beheader, he took care of that psychological warfare. He put an end to that psychological warfare that they could not win. And so, and when he's holding up the head, then they go out. So now they're the same ones. They're walking back too. So the army's walking, the walker backs. Thomas was the walker back. They had to see, and it's not good or bad or ugly. Okay? I mean, I remember when I was a little boy, I'd go jump off a pier in a heartbeat. But after I had a friend jump and break his neck because there was he didn't pay attention to where he was jumping and the water was not as deep as he thought it was and broke his neck and soon died, from that time on, I didn't just run and jump anywhere. I had to check it out first. Because, you know what? I weren't feeling that it was safe to jump in there. Okay, so I'm not always the running back. Sometimes I'm the walking back too. So watch this now. Watch. This is the largest group in the church. And you can figure 50%, 60%, a great number of the church are those walking back. So you may not see them here today, but you may see him here next week. Or you may not see them here in the next week or two, but you will eventually see them here. Because, again, this is the largest group. They're coming back. But remember, they just got to feel, see, know that things are getting better. You know, I'm kind of waiting myself to see if we have a second wave, because once they started opening stuff back up, some people act like nothing's even happened, and they're all out everywhere acting like nothing's wrong. And I just don't want to be part of that, where they actually lose all of their I'm trying to think of the word for it right now, lose all of their safety measures and wind up getting it. So again, walking back. Now the key word for those walking back is peace. Once Thomas touched his hands, the nail scars, and once Thomas stuck his hand in his side, immediately Thomas had peace. And he said, "My Lord and my God." Wow. You see, those who walk back, and I'm hurrying, kind of, sort of, maybe. It's been 8 weeks since I've seen anybody to preach to. So do y'all mind? Y'all just wave your hands. It feels good to see somebody out there. I tell everybody all the time on Facebook, wave your hands. I don't know if you're waving them or not, but now I can see it. Amen. Okay. So now, those who walk back will listen carefully. They're watching. They're watching right now. They're watching on Facebook Live. If they don't watch it right now, they'll watch it later. But they're watching. They're watching what you say. They're watching how you open. That's why we have our mask. That's why we've got all these safety precautions. That's why the ushers are not passing out bulletins. And they're not receiving the offering. You drop it off in the pot when you go through back there. Is because safety precautions. One person in the bathroom at a time. You know, so again, connecting to their own personal perceptions of what the new normal is, those will return when they have internal peace. Didn't say eternal peace, internal peace. If they get in eternal peace, we might not see them again till we get to the other side. That's called RIP. We're not looking for RIP. Ready? So now, watch this now. Carefully, I'm trying to help us out. First, you have to prepare and communicate that will help elevate their level of peace. If they sense that we're thoughtful, well-prepared, clearly communicating the process, that will enhance their level of trust. But if they don't sense this, if they think we're in here running them down, if they're watching right now and they're going, hey, they're not here. When they come in, act like we didn't just talk about it. Nah. Okay? It's okay. Y'all the walker back. So I'm looking at the Facebook. I'm not looking at y'all. Y'all aren't walking back. Y'all are here. Facebook people, y'all are walking back. It's fine. We understand. Take your time. Just know that we're doing everything we can to keep everybody safe. But it's up to you, and we trust your judgment. Okay? Just don't stay gone too long because we miss you. That's the only thing. We miss you. Ready? All right. Secondly, and you know what? There's something about being in church together that's just awesome. Yes. Second, take the I'm Walking Back group very seriously. Treat their concerns with respect and keep the tone light. Now here's the third group. Now the third group is the ones that might make you go, huh? So when I put it up here, I want you all to go at the same time. I'm going to go 1, 2, 3, and I'll go, huh? Ready? Wait, not yet. Wait. Let me just read this first. When Jesus ascended, when he's going back to heaven, the Bible said that he was seen of 500 at one time. Over 500. So there's 500 around as he's going up to the Father. And he says, I want y'all to go back to Jerusalem and tarry and wait for the promise of the Father. Today is Pentecost Sunday. This is symbolic of the day, or the day we celebrate when this event happened. He said, I want you to go back and on the day of, until you be endued with power from on high until you receive the promise of the Father. Well, they didn't know how long they were going to have to wait. And they still hadn't connected Pentecost, the Feast of Pentecost with this. They hadn't connected all the dots yet. They were getting it as it went. And they were connecting the dots then. And so here they are. They're going back, and 500 plus went back to wait. 10 days later, how many were there on the day of Pentecost? 120. So 500 got the message, but only 120 was waiting for the promise. Wow. You ever think about that? That's amazing. Doesn't mean they didn't get the Holy Spirit. Doesn't mean they didn't get baptized in the Spirit. It just meant that they weren't there at the very first load. Okay? They weren't there like they were expected to be, because it says there was only 120. So now, there are those now. We got those that are running back, those that are walking back, and we got those that may not even come back. Everybody go ready. When we go three, we go, oh, ready? One, two, three. Oh. Y'all almost did it. Ready? One, two, three. Oh. Yeah, there are those that might not even come back. Or, let's just talk about this now. Don't panic. Don't panic about this group. Their delay, even no matter how indefinite this delay is not necessarily a bad thing. You see, some people have learned how to worship in their pajamas and their bedroom shoes. You know, all these years I talked about a Tennessee tuxedo. I wear my jeans and wear a nice shirt and a tie. And now we got the mullet dressing. You know, one day I watched DC doing praise and worship. He said, "We'll turn this over to the pastor and the campus too." But he was there, and he was wearing a really nice shirt. He was looking all slick. And then he stood up, and I saw he was wearing shorts, and I saw his socks and his shoes. So I run real fast, and I matched him. Yeah, y'all remember? And I stood up and said, "In honor of the fancy mullet dressing, look at me." Okay. Yeah. Okay. So, but some people actually have learned to be comfortable with this. This is not taking the place of corporate worship, but for some people, this may have become a norm. Okay. So let me just show you something here. Watch this. If you can communicate the freedom to those that attend online as a regular place of worship rather than subtly pressuring someone to come back, eventually they will come back. You can't beat them into submission. You can't, you know, one of the things I learned very quick as a pastor is you can't beat holiness into people. You can't beat them into salvation. You can't drag them to the altar and hold them down and put their nose in it on the altar like a, you know, dog with a water and a bowl of water in the nose and say, "You're not coming up till you get saved." Don't work. Baptism is a little different. I only lost one. I've only lost one, but I didn't know the boy had asthma, okay? I'm playing and I've never lost anybody. Okay. So now, communicate to these people that are online, it's okay. We understand you don't feel comfortable right now. We understand this is more comfortable to you. We hope there's going to be a time when you come back. But if you don't come back, we still love you. And we're still going to be there for you if you need us. You see, keep in mind that some may have some degree of compromised health conditions or a combination of age and health issues that they're not really wanting to get back until there's a inoculation. Okay? And I can understand. I personally, I'm ready to go all the time. But there is those. Okay? This group may be about 15%. Some say, I think you said David Jeremiah said, what did you say, Wayne? David Jeremiah said about 45%. Okay, I like my percentage better than his, but okay. I hear amen. Y'all looking at me like, well, David Jeremiah. I mean, David Linton, David Jeremiah. It's okay. Y'all can breathe. It's fine. Okay. Now the key word for those that may not become, remember, they're still trying to process this. Some people's worlds have been changed so much, and they're just still trying to process what's going on. Some people never missed a lick. They kept on working. Their job had them working. They just kept on doing their thing every day. They never even missed a lick. But there's people that lost their jobs. There's people that have had people in their family die. There's been multiple man and wife, or man and child, or child that have died. You know, neighborhoods that have been impacted, job places that have been impacted. One person, there was a church service. That's one of the things, one of the reasons why we hadn't started back at the time, is because there was one place, it was just a choir practice. In the choir practice, I think one person infected 39 people, like 40 people in the choir, all got the coronavirus. And I did see in prison, not at Pitt, but in prison, Pitt Detention Center is at its lowest population right now because they're trying to prevent the coronavirus. And people that were already scheduled to get out pretty soon anyway, they didn't have violent crimes. They were released, and the ones with violent crimes are still there, but they're not taking very many new people because they're trying to keep the population down and keep everything controlled. But I actually saw a webcam that was in a break area in a prison, I think it was in California, and one guy had coronavirus, and he took his water bottle and he drank it and he set it down on the table and walked away, and another prisoner walked over, picked it up and drank it from it, set it down, and another prisoner went and got it, and I forget how many there was, but they were all drinking behind him. And then he had a face mask, and he breathed in the face mask and left it by the telephone. The other guys picked up his face mask and breathed it, and I forget how many people got infected. They thought if they got infected, they'd be released. They weren't released. Just now they're sick and they're incarcerated. Okay, so still, people are still trying to process what's going on here because this is new territory. So now, again, the key word here is pause. Listen carefully, and then we're soon going to be through. DC and then can get ready to start singing. Many are fully with you in heart and spirit. They just simply pushed the pause button from their regular church attendance in a physical building. So now here's some thoughts that you can do to encourage these people, okay? Intention, design, ways. We're going to have to come up with some ways. We're going to figure this out. I like those that have pushed the pause button, if I could talk to them and ask them, what can we do to make you still feel a part of us? What is it we can do? What is it we can say, you know, that you can still feel connected to us, not just online? Because, you know, I can quote all these John Wayne movies. I can quote them. Man, I can quote them. And word for word. And I know how he's going to act. And when we went to Disney World, there was a life-size image of John Wayne. I stood beside him, and me and him were about the same size. And the boy said, "Dad, he's about as big as John Wayne." I said, "Yeah, but he didn't look as good as I did." But you know what? Although I know all this about him, if you ask him now, he's not going to say anything. But if you'd ask John Wayne, "Do you know David Linton?" He knows all your movies. You know what John Wayne would have said? "David who?" It's because although I'm connected to him, he's not connected to me, because I'm connected through that screen watching his movies. That's it. And if the church people that are putting on pause, if you're not careful, they'll feel disconnected. Although they look at what's going on, they can still feel disconnected from everybody else. So it's important that you call them, that you talk to them. And don't call them and tell them, you know, blah, 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 you need to get it. No, just call them and say, just call and check on you. You know, just call and check on you, tell you we love you. And if they say, "Well, we're going to come back eventually," you just say, "Well, when you feel like it, you come on back. But until then, I want you to know I love you and I'm here for you and everything's okay." You got to let them feel that it's going to be okay. So reach out, make personal connections, and you got to focus on engagement. Don't just call them up and say, and like I said, don't call them up to bless them out. If you're going to call them up to bless them out, I pray God tears up your phone contract. Okay? Puts heavenly duct tape over your lips. Okay? Just call them up. Tell them that you love them. Tell them that you're concerned. And if there's any way we can help, let us know. And if they got questions, try to help them. If you can't help them, turn them over to me. Give them to me. I've done counseling all kinds of ways. And I've done counseling in ways I weren't even expecting. You know, it's really kind of wild. Some of y'all know this. The prisoners at penitentiary, or the heroin that goes in the heroin addict, B5, they have a home. All the prisoners all over in their day rooms, they have a home wave, which they get on a telephone and they call their loved ones that are on the list, and they can see them face to face and they can talk to them, and they've got a few minutes, and it costs, it's really expensive, but they can talk back and forth. Well, the lawyers can get on it free and they can talk to their lawyer. The difference is when they talk to their family, they're actually listening to them and they're monitoring them. And some guys get extra charges while they're talking to their family members because they're listening to them and they're monitoring everything they say. But the lawyers, there's no monitoring and there's no recording. And so when this stuff happened and they told us we can no longer go into B5, they put me in that same status. And so the guys can call me and I get a call. Sometimes it might be a day or two I don't get a call at all. And then some days I can even do groups because they got a portable one that can sit out with a loudspeaker. And I can do group therapy with everybody in there. And I can see the group and they can see me. And it's not recorded and it's not monitored. And it's free. So they can call me all they want. And so that would never have happened if it hadn't been for this. And so I only see them a couple of days a week, first thing Monday morning, first thing Friday morning, until now. And now, as time goes by, it's changed because of this coronavirus. And so there's all kinds of, I've even on Zoom, I've counseled people on Zoom, counseled them on telephone, which is something I already did. And when they come into church, we have to do social distancing, so I keep them away from me when they come in for counseling. But see, there's so many ways we can talk to people. We don't have to think, well, if I just can't be right there beside them sitting in the car with them, then I can't talk to them. No, there's all kind. Please, be creative. Be creative. Find ways that you can talk to people. Communicate to those people how the church can still serve you, although you've pushed the pause button on physical attendance. Continue to move forward by connecting with their faith. And this is my favorite, you know, and this is, I say it all the time. Look at that. We can and we'll make it through this. This is my favorite thing I tell everybody all the time. And it is, just remember, we may have to accept some new norms. Some of these new norms are temporary. Some of these new norms are here to stay. The social distancing, we may be having strong social distancing for 6 months to a year and a half, depending on when they can finally come through with this virus inoculation. Once they get that going, things will change. But until that changes, there's going to be some social distancing things that we're going to have to keep in mind. And I think I can hold out for a year and a half. I'm not sure. Okay. Sometimes I got to get put in a straitjacket so I won't hug anybody or grab them. Amen. Okay. They're not letting our guys, they told me Friday that the regular guys that visit the regular part of penitentiary, it may be all the way to winter before they get back in. Okay. And it's just crazy because they don't want people to get it because then they're responsible for their health and if they go in intensive care and all this stuff. But just remember this. Things will change, but watch this. God's got this. And either way, we win. DC, y'all come up here. God's got this. And either way, we win. Y'all say that with me. God's got this. And either way, we win. Yes, everybody stand. This stuff here took me by surprise, big time. I know it took everybody by surprise. And then about time we think things are getting a little bit looser, here comes the riots. I heard the governor saying the other night, the very first set of riots, that they did more destruction in the city in one night than had been done in that city its entire existence. 200 stores looted, robbed, burnt down to the ground. Again, this is no longer protesting. This is rioting. That's a big difference. The whole world has got pent-up frustration about either the virus or whatever's going on in their life. There's a lot of things pent up inside of us. And right now, I would love to have my whole church family here, and we could all hug each other and pray for one another, lay hands on one another, but not going to happen. It's not safe. Do I think I'm going to get it? No, I hope not. I'm praying I don't. I really don't believe I am. But you know what? I don't believe I'm going to get hit by a car either, but I ain't going to play in the road. One thing we had started doing before this was we'd started having a lot of altar calls right there at your seat with hands raised and verses coming up to the altar. And I had no idea God was preparing us for this, so we've already got used to it. So that's good. I want everybody to bow your head. You may be here right now, and those that are watching on Facebook Live, you may be very much frustrated with what's going on. You feel helpless. And in some ways, you feel powerless to do anything about what's going on. Personally, it's hard to, some folks lost their job. They're waiting for that to take place. They're waiting for their unemployment checks. There are all this kind of stuff going on, and it's got you frustrated. Some is just, you can't even grab the ones that you love anymore. And it hurts. Then you turn on the television and see this stuff that we've been seeing for the last few nights, and it looks to me like it reminds me of Beirut and Kabul, Afghanistan. It reminds me of looking at Iraq. But it's not. It's the United States of America. Disunited. A lot of frustration. So there's so many things happening that can cause that. And then some of you just been alone for so long because you can't get around people. Some of you were locked up with a bunch of people and you wish you could get alone. And others are alone and wish you could get with people. Let the Holy Spirit today bathe you in His power and His anointing and His love. But nobody looking around, if you're just needing some relief, over one of those things I just said or multiple things, whatever it is, you're just needing some relief because you feel like you're about to explode on the inside. Nobody looking around, would you raise that hand, put that hand up and say, I could really, really use some relief right now. I really need God to do something for me. I really need God to take control of my situations. Lord, you see the hands everywhere. Ask you right now, Lord, to touch them. Make a difference in their life right now. Let them know that they're not alone, that you're with them. And that this soon will pass. And we'll get back to some sort of normalcy. Keep your head bowed. In some ways, I look at this stuff that's going on, and I see God shaking us out of our comfort zones. He's shaking us out of our comfort zones, shaking us out of our complacency, and getting our focus back on Him. If you're here today and on Facebook Live, first off, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, He wants you to know Him. If you don't know Him, just say this. Don't even raise your hand, just I want you to say this. Lord, I need you to come into my heart, my life. I believe you died and rose again. I believe you're at the Father's right hand. I trust the power of the cross, cleansing my sins. And take me back. Thank you for salvation. Maybe you're here today and all of this has got you knocked off center. You're not exactly where you were before all this started. Instead of it getting you closer to God, it's driven you further away. You don't understand this, and you kind of feel like you're being punished. And you're wanting God to show you. I'm here today to tell you, you're not being punished. God wants you to cling to Him and watch what He can do. Now, with every head bowed and every eye closed, could you just, if you know that you're off center, that you're not where you need to be and you may be going the other direction and you're needing God to help you get back in the right arena, the right mindset. But nobody's looking around, every eye's closed. Would you just put that hand, because that's the start of it. Would you put that hand up? Touch them right now, Lord. Help them to get their heart and their mind in one accord with your Spirit. Minister to them mighty in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray now for all these cities, all these people that have been hurt, all these businesses that have been ransacked, all these lives that have been shattered, and the people that have been killed through all of this. Protect those that are trying to bring peace. Protect us, Lord. And we know, God, that you got this. And either way, we win. On everybody right now, just to give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Well, come on. You can be seated for a minute. We're going to be here Tuesday night. Tuesday night, Bible study. And here's what we're going to be talking about. I know it probably is going to be, you're probably going to say, why are we talking about that now? That doesn't make any sense. We're going to be talking about stress management. Is anybody stressed out? Stress management. And so we're going to talk about that Tuesday night. Start it on Tuesday night. And next Sunday, come on back. And again, if somebody is not here right now, don't beat them up. Lift them up. call some of these people that you know are normally here and are not, and just tell them that you miss them, and you understand, and you want to be there for them, okay? I miss you, I understand, and I want to be there for you, okay? That's good. Good stuff. Because remember, some of them are walking back, and some of them